You are Locked On the NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello, 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 hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. How is everyone this wonderful Monday? It's Monday dinner time here in the Eastern Coast, a little bit after 6. That's important because the action in the NFL is so unbelievably fast and furious with free agency tidal wave hitting us that you need to know about what I know at this point. I mean, you're listening to this obviously after I tape it, and there's probably things happening left and right. So all today and tomorrow are going to be just me and you sitting down talking about moves. And I want to preface this by saying the money being spent is astronomical right now. I mean, on Monday here. I mean, opening wave. So I'm not going to talk about the dollars and cents of this right now. I'm just going to talk about teams and fit and player. Because really, I basically think all these are bad moves. You know, I mean, they're all overspends. I think a lot of these guys have a very good chance 2 years from now to be the Malik Jackson that gets cut because their team's in cap trouble, et cetera, et cetera. That being said, these owners aren't dumb, and they do know there's a new CBA on the horizon, and the cap didn't go up a ton this year, but a lot of people are telling me due to all the influx of money that'll be coming from gambling, too, that there's going to be more to spend than ever. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is just the going rate, and maybe these will end up being bargains 2 or 3 years from now. We don't know the answer to that, but history's shown us that free agency money spent in the first 24, 48, 72 hours generally is bad money spent. And a lot of these contracts are, wow. I mean, some of these tight end monies, and holy smokes. The latest news is Terrell Suggs has signed with Arizona. And this is kind of a, you know, sentimental one. He's the last of the phenomenal Ravens, Ed Reed, Ray Lewis defenders. And I think it's pretty clear that Baltimore is looking to get younger on that side of the ball. Weddle's gone. Suggs is gone. Probably more athletic. I would think they were trying to turn their attention to Zadarius or somebody like that. Try to keep them. So Suggs is gone. Surprised, honestly. But he goes to Arizona. Remember, he played at Arizona State. He was the all-time sack leader up until this year. And I assume that this probably, I mean, maybe he only has one more year left, who knows. But I would imagine, and we think we knew this anyways, Bosa's probably out of the picture for the first overall pick for Arizona. But maybe they will draft a younger edge guy to learn from Suggs and Chandler Jones. And Suggs is still good, so that's a pretty formidable pair. I would guess Golden probably won't be back. I mean, I would think you use a mid-round pick on an edge guy, maybe, and that's about it from this point. So I thought that was a really interesting move. Jacksonville, I mean, I guess it's the least biggest news, although it's the biggest news because it's a quarterback, but we all knew it was coming. They cut Bortles, so that's like, what, 5 or 6 big-name dudes that they had to cut in order to pay Foles, which we knew was going to happen. The money, again, I'm not harping on the money, but the money's terrible here. I mean, this is a lot of money for Nick Foles, who's an average starter. I mean, he's an up-and-down guy. They don't have much in the way of receivers. Who knows what you're going to get in Fournette? They don't have any tight ends. I mean, it's not a good situation there. And my thoughts with Foles in particular are, who were you competing against? I mean, were there 3 or 4 teams beating down his door? I mean, did Miami or Washington or somebody like that desperately want him? You know, Denver didn't. I don't think the Giants would have. I think the answer is no. I think you're competing against yourself, and you lose 5 good players in order to sign an average quarterback. I don't like what Jacksonville's doing. I really don't. I don't trust this move. I think they're going to really regret it. A trade happened. DeSean Jackson goes back to the Eagles from Tampa for a late-round pick. It's, you know, as we often talk about, the late-round currency, so the Eagles don't have to compete with 30 other teams. But all of a sudden, Aguilar could be on his way out. That wouldn't shock me if that's the next shoe to drop, either cut or traded for a late-round pick. But Jackson can still play. He can still fly. Wentz likes a deep ball, and when right, I can see a lot of big plays between these two. A really good compliment to Alshon. I mean, your four top receivers are Alshon, DeSean Jackson, as you see a lot of single coverage, Ertz, and Dallas Goedert, who I think is going to be a star. I mean, that's a pretty good group of receivers. You know, Antonio Brown was rumored to be linked to the Eagles, and that didn't happen. And side note there, I was kind of told by some good sources today that when AB backed out with the Bills, that pretty much just made the Raiders the only people in the market for him at that point. Like, every other team was like, there was more interest. And whenever he said, I'm not going to play for the Bills, the teams that were interested just said, all right, enough of you, I'm done. So the Raiders were, again, bidding against themselves for him, and that's why the price was as low as it was. Another Eagles note, though, I mentioned Malik Jackson earlier. Nice pickup, you know, a little bit of shuffling with their defensive line. Graham stays, Jackson enters. Good stuff there. Jernigan's going to go. Bennett left. So, gave him big money. I think he fits. I mean, Malik Jackson next to Fletcher Cox. I mean, Jackson can still play. I mean, I like that move on the field for sure. You know, a lot of four-man rushes. Really good interior pass rush between the two of them. I think that could pay off for them well. And it's, you know, they're built from the front to the back, basically, on defense. And it's worked quite well. So, keep up that formula. A lot more here to talk about. We'll take a quick break, and you know, we'll be back with segment number two. Curious moves by the Bills. You know, I mentioned them with AB here a moment ago, and they add Kevin Johnson, who, former first-round pick, often injured, played really poorly, but to me, worth a flyer. I mean, if you had a decent grade on him coming out of school, you're not paying a lot for him. He's different than what I was saying before about everybody overspending. Mostly a zone team. I would think that you're not going to put a lot of stress on him. He's got a good size. There's some measurables there. Okay, I mean, to me, that's a good risk worth taking. I mentioned tight ends making a lot of money. I mean, Tyler Croft making a ton. And there's no tight ends to pick from out of here besides Jared Cook. I wonder what Cook's going to make. Holy smokes. And they need every receiving body they can get. I get it. You know, middle of the field. Quarterback's, you know, best friend. But they paid him big money, and I think he's a number two tight end. I mean, is he one of the best 20 tight ends in the league? No. Fine. I mean, again, it's monopoly money, but wow. And then Frank Gore. I assume this is all about culture. I mean, Shady McCoy's still there, at least while we're recording this. Does that mean that there's another shoe to drop that he's leaving? Very well could. Who's to say? Maybe they could trade him for something small. Late pick. I would assume the plan is Gore and a second or third round pick and learn from the wily old veteran. I mean, what's he have left? Who knows with this guy? I mean, he just keeps on ticking, and yeah, he knows every trick in the book. And I would imagine his role model is his value here, and that's what they're looking at, but we'll see. The Titans, just a couple minutes ago, signed Adam Humphries. I really like this move. I mean, I've mentioned several times, they need to find reliable pass catchers. So now all of a sudden, the middle of your field is Jonnu Smith, Walker, who returns, and Humphries. Humphries is a good player. I mean, like, I'd rather have him than Cole Beasley or some of these other slot guys. So I think that's very Mariota-friendly. You still have Corey Davis on the outside, who I'm fond of, and I think they should really consider a first-round receiver, I mean, or a second-round receiver, something like that. A big downfield guy. A little more speed would be nice. And then they locked up Kenny Vaccaro for the long term. I mean, one of these many safeties that was hitting the market. Thought he played quite well with them. Cyprian's gone. It's Vaccaro's job. Stability. I couldn't believe he was on the market as long as he was last year. It made no sense to me. So the Titans kind of got a steal there last year and then rewarded him properly. I like these two moves quite a bit for Tennessee. The Lions were quite busy. The big, you know, maybe the biggest signing of the day in Flowers. Obvious connections to Patricia. Coached them up until this past year. Their pass rush is really poor. Ansa, I would be shocked if he's back. I mean, they absolutely have a plan in place for Flowers. I mean, paying him huge money. And he's a really good player in the prime of his career, but probably not quite worth that. Jesse James. It's funny because I'm writing this article for Draft Digest, and I'm doing every team's three biggest needs. And the Lions, I was choosing between four. Edge pass rush, tight end, slot receiver, corner. And they added all four today. So James is a guy I'm really familiar with. You know, from a Steelers perspective, I was kind of like, I don't really care if they bring him back or not. He's a true number two. He's kind of a catch and fall down guy. But he's improving. I did think it was a big need. Again, making more than I would have given him, but he'll be useful. I don't know that it would, you know, would I still consider a guy like Hockenson in the first round? Yeah, I'd still consider him. Amendola is the other signing there. Again, very familiar with Patricia. They needed the slot receiver. Golden Tate replacement. Still capable. I mean, quite the injury history, obviously, but familiarity, reliability, and when he's on the field. And then they gave Justin Coleman big money. And I got to be honest, I like the player. I didn't see that coming. But he's now either number one or amongst the absolute true slot corners in terms of paychecks coming. And he's a good one. I mean, I don't know that I saw him quite in that light. But he's a guy I might have to go back and do a little bit more homework on. But you have Slay on the outside. They want to play a lot of man. Slay's going to often travel with one. Coleman's your slot. So these were, you know, Flowers is a big deal, obviously. And Coleman, like I said, just gave him huge money. But they're the right spots, at least, to go, you know, to go get guys. So I see that, and I'm cool with that part. Another huge signing, the Niners signed Quan Alexander. They have the money. All of a sudden, you got Fred Warner and Quan Alexander. I mean, two similar fit today's offense, three down linebackers can really run. Both reasonably young. Alexander's missing some tackles here and there, but that doesn't bother me that much. I mean, if you make plays, I mean, they all of a sudden they have a good playmaking second level, probably what they envisioned with Warner and Foster. And obviously Foster didn't work out for numerous reasons, but big, big money for Alexander. But for the Niners, their scheme, I get it. You know, I mean, their defensive tackles slash up the middle now looks pretty strong. Maybe they'll add Earl Thomas behind them. Still very much in the market for an edge, but you'll get your choice probably of anyone you want, whether that's Bosa or not, or Allen or whoever with the second spot. So front seven of that D could be pretty darn good next year. So we have five other teams to discuss. We'll be back here in a minute to do exactly that. And before we leave, I do want to tell you a couple things. First of all, we're really pushing on the Locked On Network to use your smart device in your car. You know, sit down in your car and play podcasts, Locked On NFL. And I'm also really pushing the rest of the network, especially this week, but always. Go check out your favorite team, you know, your least favorite team, your teams in your division you're into. But the network is really popping right now. We're putting up record numbers on the NFL side and probably on the NBA side too. I just don't know anything about the NBA. In terms of downloads and listens right now. So we're growing really quickly, and I want to thank you all for that, too. I mean, my podcast in particular has spiked lately. That's all your guys doing. Thanks again. And please spread the word. Let's keep it up. So I'll be back in a moment. All right, big news from New York. Jets signed Jamison Crowder. Again, like all these, probably to too much money, but I would think he'll catch a lot of passes from Darnold. I think Anderson and Anunua on the outside are pretty good. You know, I'm a Herndon fan. So, are there any stars of that group? I mean, that's a pretty good foursome, though, you know, with some youth and some upside still and varied skill sets. I like that, you know, that, I mean, all can put together that basketball team where they all kind of look a little different. The one's a little bigger than the other. And what if you add Le'Veon Bell or Tevon Coleman to that list? You know, then all of a sudden you got five quality receivers, added Assembly. So, the offense is starting to round into shape here around Darnold, who I'm really high on. So, rooting for him. I don't want to see him in a situation like his, you know, Buddy Rosen was last year where you're just nothing around you. And so, Jets are starting to do some good things. Not surprising. Maybe by the time you listen to this, they've been linked to Mosley. And they've also been linked to moving on from Lee. I mentioned on Steeler Nation Radio, if I'm the Steelers, I'd be calling about Darren Lee right now. Daron Lee right now. I think a couple teams could use a guy like that, and I could see why they'd want Mosley. So we'll see if that happens or not. Bengals kept two of their own, Bobby Hart and TJ Uzomah. I hope they paid him like a starter pretty much. I hope the Bengals don't look at Bobby Hart and say, we're fine at right tackle. He's a guy. That's lazy. I hope that's not the case. He's not good. I mean, I forget who I saw. Actually, it was a host of Locked On Bengals. And he had, when that came across, he basically was like, no, like, that means they probably are just going to put Hart back at tackle and be happy about it, and they should draft Jonah Williams or somebody, and they won't, and I don't like that. Maybe they'll prove me wrong, and they still will use a high pick on a lineman, maybe. I mean, this is a Rams-like team-building philosophy, I would think, so if you look at him as your swing tackle, okay, that's different, but we'll see. Again, overpaying on a tight end, yeah, I assume Eifert won't be back, okay. Azoma's okay. I mean, he's, again, much like Kroft, pretty good receiver, and is he one of the best 20 tight ends in the league? Probably not. Hope that they're not just happy with these two as the starters. They're kind of in the same boat, but Hart's the lesser player of the two. Washington, Landon Collins, huge news there. Huge money. Again, I just quit harping on that. Just, Matt, it's not your money. It's, you know, things are changing. Who cares? Really good player. I hope they have a really good plan in place to use him a lot like he was with the Giants around the line of scrimmage and as a downhill player. Not a lot of single coverage. I don't want to see him in space against, you know, the top running backs and tight ends. But he's a playmaker. He's a good addition. High-quality guy. I like it. I mean, of course. I mean, he's a good addition to what looks like a team that might be a little bit better than you think. Again, I don't think they're done at quarterback. They got to find some receivers, too. This isn't huge news, but the Vikes cut Mike Remmers. I just mention it because O-line is obviously a big area of concern for them. It's their number one need. Is there another shoe to drop as we're even talking? Are they cutting him for a reason to add another offensive lineman? My suspicion is that's the plan. Then he was a little overpaid to begin with. He was kind of one of these dudes that around this time when he was a free agent got too much money. You know, okay, whatever. Is Trent Brown that guy? I have mixed feelings on this one too, because I thought he was pretty darn good as a Niner. And then I also said somebody's going to overpay him after Tom Brady makes all their linemen look better than they are in protection. And that's mostly true, but he's a good player. He can play right side. He can play the left side. He's now a Raider. I wanted to harp on this one a little more than some of these others because the Raiders drafted Colton Miller in the first round, and he struggled, but he's a first-round pick and same regime, you know, at least Gruden. And then they used a third-round pick on a tackle that really played poorly. I haven't read this yet, and we'll probably know by the time you guys are listening, but I would think you take Brown and put him back on the right side and leave Miller on the left, which would be both their natural spots, even though Brown excelled at left tackle last year. And the Raiders have shown, you know, that Assemele and Gabe Jackson, historically and over the last, you know, 5-10 years, they've looked for really big-bodied masher offensive linemen, and he absolutely fits that. He might be the biggest guy in the league. And then where I wanted to go with this, too, is, and I've said this to you guys many, many times, but more than any quarterback in the league, Derek Carr needs protection. And I put that on Twitter, and some people wrote me back and said, well, maybe he shouldn't be your quarterback then. And maybe he shouldn't. I mean, okay, I mean, that's not wonderful, but there's no such thing as a perfect player, and he does a lot of things good. I'm still a Carr believer. I don't know if Gruden is. I think that's an interesting thing to, you know, monitor at this point. But knowing his weaknesses, and this is a weakness going back to college, is why he was a second-round pick, is didn't handle pressure well. And, okay, so we know this. We know what he does well. We know he does not do well. So you build your roster and your team accordingly. And, therefore, if Derek Carr is going to be my quarterback, I might allot a little bit bigger piece of the pie to protection in the O-line than I would if Joe Blow was my quarterback. You know, so it's not perfect. He's not a perfect player, but doesn't mean he stinks. Or, I mean, it sounds bad when I say something like, boy, Derek Carr needs protected more than other quarterbacks. Well, some guys need, you know, the system dumbed down for them because they're not smart. You know, I mean, there's some guys don't throw lasers, so you have to get a short passing game. I mean, like, very few have it all. And so the Raiders, I think, wisely are kind of building around them as they have really since, you know, under McKenzie and the last coaching staff. So that makes sense. Again, they're throwing around a lot of guaranteed money, obviously, in Oakland. But you got to think adding Brown and Brown, the offense almost has to be better, and Carr almost has to be better, assuming he's the man. So we'll see. Fun one. Again, spread the word. definitely listen to us in the car. Use your smart device there. And tomorrow's show is going to be basically identical to this one. I'm sure we'll have another 10 to 20 major things to buzz over quickly. That's a wrap. Thanks so much. Over and